Tonight we pick up in the portion of the book, Pilgrim's Progress, at the point where we encounter a new character. This character is named Atheist, and we have not yet encountered him in our journey through the book, which is the portrayal of a Christian and his many experiences with people and with places that he comes in contact with in his Christian experience. Last week, we found that our two Christian pilgrims undergone the act of God's chastening hand. After falling under the influence of a false teacher, which flattered them and their natural pride, then God had to take the whip of chastisement to them to correct them, and now they're on their way again toward the celestial city, standing for heaven and representing a place or a state of being where the will of God is done perfectly. So if you have your books this evening, we'll take up at that point, and tonight we'll be encountering this new character named Mr. Atheist. Now after a while, they perceived afar off one coming softly and alone all along the highway to meet them. Then said Christian to his fellow, "Yonder is a man with his back towards Zion, and he is coming to meet us." Now let me stop here and try to describe to you the location and the characteristics of this explanation here, what Bunyan is describing. Here is a man which is coming away from Zion. That is, he has his back turned upon the will of God. He doesn't any longer believe that there is an eternal state. He doesn't even believe in God. And so this is what he means when he shows the pilgrims which are journeying toward heaven, or they're wanting the will of God, they encounter a man who will ridicule God and even question whether that there is a God. But it will find out he's a man which at one time professed to be a Christian, and a man which wanted to seek out after the celestial city. Hopeful says, "I see him, but let us take heed to ourselves now, lest he should prove a flatterer also." If you remember in our setting 2 weeks ago, we encountered the flatterer. And because of that, why our two Christian pilgrims underwent some of the chastening hand of God, and evidently Hopeful still feeling some of those stripes that were giving him. And so he says, now here comes a fellow, but let's be careful of him. He may also prove to be a flatterer or a false apostle. So he drew nearer and nearer, and at last came up to them. His name was Atheist, and he asked them whether they were going. Christian replies, "We're going to Mount Zion." Then Atheist fell into a very great laughter. Christian, "What's the meaning of your laughter?" Atheist, "I laugh to see what ignorant persons you are, to take upon you so tedious a journey, and yet are like to have nothing but your travail for your pains." And Christian says, "Why, man, do you think we shall not be received?" Atheist, "Received? There is not such a place as you dream of in all this world." Christian, "But there is in the world to come." Then Atheist replies, "When I was at home in mine own country, I heard as you now affirm, and from that hearing went out to sea, and have been seeking this city these 20 years, but find no more of it than I did the first day that I set out." So now Atheist is an individual here which has been a seeker. He's been a professing Christian for some 20 years, only now, because he's never experienced any of these things which he's heard about, he's come to the conclusion that there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no Christ, there is no gospel. And so, because of all of his undertakings and his wisdom, he thinks that because he has discovered this, that he is someone who is absolutely qualified then to inform others that there's no use serving God because there is no God. Now Christian says, "But we have both heard and believe that there is such a place to be found." Atheist, "Had not I, when at home, believed, I had not come this far to seek. but finding none, and yet I should, had there been such a place to be found, for I have gone to seek it further than you. I am going back again, and will seek to refresh my things with myself with the things that I then cast away, for hopes of that which I now see is not. Now, Atheist is merely explaining this. He said, I've been in this thing of seeking out after the mystery of God far more years than you have. And I'm more qualified to know whether there is a God than you. And I have never determined that there is a God, even though I've sought out and I've tried to find him everywhere. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to go back and take up the things that I left off when I took up this thing of being a Christian, and I'm going to enjoy those for the rest of my life. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, and because I've been a fool in what I've been doing. I'm going back to the things of this world. Then said Christian to Hopeful, his companion, is it true which this man has said? Now, Christian's going to test his companion here. Now, Hopeful is the younger believer, now remember. And he's going to test him and see whether or not that maybe there's something to this fellow. Maybe there is no God. Maybe we are wasting our time serving Christ. How many of you, without a raise of hands, you have ever had questions like that come to your mind? Have you? Have there ever been thoughts that go through your mind once in a while that's caused you to wonder, is there really a God? Is there really a Christ? Is he really alive today? Is there really life after death, even though that you're a Christian? I think you would be a rare individual if those thoughts had never gone through your mind, even since becoming a Christian, because Satan uses his fiery darts and he works through our minds. And so Christian asked his fellow companion now, maybe there's something to this man, what he's saying. Maybe there isn't a heaven. Now look at Hopeful's answer. Take heed, he's one of the flatterers. Now then, here again, this fellow, he just experienced some chastisement, and he's not going to go through that whip again. And he's just gotten out of God's woodshed. He's not going to get back in it again. And so he says to Christian, now take heed, he's one of the flatterers. We'll be back in the net again. Reading on, remember what it cost us once already for our hearkening to such kind of fellows? What? No Mount Zion? Did we not see from the Delectable Mountains the gate of the city? Now, if you will remember, if you were here in that particular night, when that the teaching shepherds, their pastors, took them just to that point that night or that day in the Delectable Mountains, and they said, if you'll look out, and on a clear day, you can see heaven from here. That is, that there are times in which that our faith is so strong and so real that we can have real glimpses into the life hereafter through faith. Don't you remember, Hopeful says, that how we saw it from afar? You remember the old song that we sing in the sweet by and by? We shall dwell on that peaceful shore, something of those words. For by faith we can see it afar. Now, the true Christian is allowed such insights into the life hereafter from time to time through faith on a clear day. That is, when they not have their thoughts clouded by the thoughts of Satan. And so Hopeful is saying, now, wait a minute. This fellow isn't true. He's a phony. And we must not listen to him. What? No Mount Zion? No life after death? Don't you remember that we saw the life hereafter? There on the Delectable Mountains? Also, are we not now to walk by faith? Let us go on, lest the man with the whip overtake us again. And may I say again, here's a fellow who doesn't have to be taught the same lesson twice. And it's a wise Christian indeed that when God chastens us, that we don't have to go through the same thing again because we don't learn our lesson. When God teaches us something because we fall into some error, and we do not learn, we're going to have it again. And so let's learn that first time, lest we have to undergo the whip again. You should have taught me that lesson, which I will round you in the ears withal. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes us to err from the words of knowledge. That's a quotation from the book of Proverbs. And that's merely saying this: beware of embracing any teaching, whether it be from a preacher or a teacher or a secular teacher, whatever it be, that takes you away from the words of God, where the will of God is known. Be careful. Always keep your face toward Mount Zion. Always seek the will of God. And beware of any teaching which drifts you away from the path of God's will and starts enabling you to do your own will. I say, my brother, cease to hear him, and let us believe to the saving of the soul. Then Christian says, my brother, I did not put the question to thee for that I doubted of the truth of our belief myself, but to prove thee, and to fetch from thee a fruit of the honesty of thy heart. As for this man, I know that he is blinded by the god of this world. Let thee and me go on, knowing that we have belief of the truth, and no lie is of the truth. Hopeful says, now do I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So they turned away from the man, and he, laughing at them, went his way. Now here we have a very short picture, or a very short description in the book, of the person known as atheist. You might ask, why is it short? All right, I'll answer that by asking another question. How many tonight here that you have actually encountered an atheist in your life? Now, be honest. You have actually talked with an atheist about the things of God. I see your hands. Okay, we've got about four or five. Now, you see? Now, why is there such a short period in the book devoted to us? Because these are not the people that you run across every day. Now, the one like the flatterers and obstinate and pliable and all turn away and all of these characters, we come across them in our daily life. But we don't come across the character known as atheist as often as some of these others. But he's there. Now, who is an atheist, though? It might surprise you. If we find out, really, what is atheism, then we might have far more who could raise your hand and say, oh, well, I know I've talked with an atheist then. There are two classes of atheist. There is the theoretical atheist, and that would be someone that we could identify like the individual known as Madeline Murray O'Hare. She is a theoretical atheist. That means that in her thinking, in her theory, she denies the existence of God. Now, these individuals are not as plentiful as others, except when you go over to some other country like Russia and Communist China. Now, there you will find multitudes of atheists. And that's because that their form of communism is basically atheistic. And they take their best atheistic teachers and place them in their learning institutions for the sole purpose of taking the most brilliant minds of the young people and teaching them the doctrines of atheism. Now, if you go across to Russia today, you will find atheists everywhere which are theoretical. You walk up to them on the street and you start talking with them about the Bible and the things of Christianity, and you'll get hit right away. Well, let's just stop that right now. I'm an atheist. And so these are the people known as theoretical atheists. Not everybody has an opportunity of encountering someone like Madeline Murray directly face to face. But there is another class of atheists which is not so readily discerned and noted. And that's the practical atheist. And this is the person that you find not only outside the Church of Christ, but also within the Church of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, surely there would be no atheist within the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are. And Bunyan knew that they were there. This practical atheist is the person who professes to believe in the existence of God. Now listen. But it lives as if there were no God. Now, these people are all around us. Now, say it again. A practical atheist is a person who says that he believes in God, but he lives as if he had no responsibility to that God. God can reveal his laws of how he would have him live, and this individual says, I don't care, I'm going to live the way I want to live. Even though he knows that there is a God, and you may profess there is a God, but when he lives as if there were no God, that's what's called a practicing atheist. And the Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And here's where real atheism is found at, here in the heart. I do not believe that a person can be basically honest without just having their conscience seared and look around and deny the existence of God with the mind. I think that God has so instilled in our minds the rational knowledge to recognize that this all didn't just happen. There had to be a designer. And God's word says the fool has said in his heart, in his affections, there is no God. And in the language there, it's actually reading like this. The fool has said in his heart, I hope there's no God. I hope there's no God. That is, he recognizes that there is a God out there, but he says, I want to live as if there is no God. I want to be my own God. I'm going to make my own rules, and everybody's going to live by my rules. And I'm going to set up my own kingdom here. I'm going to live, and I'm going to do my thing. Now, our country, our land, our churches are swamped with this type of individual. This is the type of individual somewhat that Bunyan describes here. It's a person who has hypocritically professed faith in Jesus Christ at one time in his life in the past. But now what has happened? He never experienced the truth of saving grace in his life. And all that he knows about heaven is what he's read about and heard about. He's never experienced it in his life. And he may be acquainted with all the doctrines and the teachings of Jesus Christ, but he's a stranger to the influence that these teachings have in bringing his life to where he could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so a person's not going to stay in that state of being for a long time or indefinitely. If a person professes to believe something, and yet they know in their heart that it isn't real, they've never experienced it, it will be but a matter of time until they turn their back upon that which they profess. Now, this is what happened to Mr. Atheist. And because he'd stayed in the church for several years and hypocritically professed faith in Christ, during that time he learned all the doctrines of Christ. He learned all about the gospel, but he also learned all the faults of the other people within that church or that profession of people, to where that he reached a point where he said, this isn't true in my life, and I can see by the lives of others it isn't true there. This whole thing's a farce. This whole thing of Christianity, there's nothing to do with it. I remember here about, I guess it's been 12, 13 years ago, had a fellow, a young man, must have been about 26, come to my door, and he was a school teacher in the public school system. And I think he was selling encyclopedias or something on the side, I forget what it was, and he came and I gave his introduction, and I told him I wouldn't be interested, but if he'd like to come in, I'd like to talk with him a minute. And so he found out I was a minister. And I started witnessing to him about Christ. And he looked at me and he said, well, now, preacher, don't start taking me down that road. And I said, what do you mean, sir? And he said, I've been there. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, I know what you're going to say. Because he said, I was a minister for about a year. And so he said, I know what you're going to tell me about. He said, I know the scriptures you're going to use. I know the arguments you're going to talk to me about becoming a Christian. And I said, you are a Christian? He said, no. He said, I am now a Unitarian. I do not believe in the Trinity. I believe in an existence of God out here, but I don't believe that we can know Him. And I said, well, sir, what happened in your life? What took place? And I'll never forget what he told me, and I'll have to relate it to you here tonight. He said, I went off to the ministry. And I said, where did you go? He said, I went to Louisville Seminary in Kentucky. And he said, I attended there 6 months. And I said, well, what happened? He said, it only took them 6 months to convince me there with their teaching program that the Bible wasn't the Word of God. And I said, you mean a Baptist seminary professors there convinced you as a minister that the Bible wasn't the Word of God? He said, yes, they sure did. I said, well, are you sure you didn't go there with all kinds of doubts and skepticism ahead of time? He said, no. He said, I went there as an energetic, zealous young man. He said, I've had the same call what you feel you've had, the call to preach. But he said, they began taking that Bible and they began showing me that these verses didn't belong in it. And he said, they began showing me that the book of Genesis was not written by Moses, and it was written by some writers here that they threw a paste and cut method, and they comprised it all hundreds of years later than it was reputed to have been written. Then he began to, he said, they showed me that the book of Isaiah was not written by Isaiah, but there were two writers of Isaiah. And then he began to show, they showed me how that the four Gospels were filled with contradictions and errors. And he said, it only took 6 months for that Greek professor there to convince me that the Bible was not the verbally inspired Word of God. And he said, if that's the case, the whole rest of it is all but a farce. And I said, then there's not much I can talk with you about, is there? He said, no, sir. He said, I sit right where you're sitting right now. And he said, I'm not going to be unkind with you, but he says, I know better. And he said, there may come a time in which you may also learn better. And so he went on his way, a convinced man that there is no real truth to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's sad, but that happens. And of all places, in places where individuals get in and begin to question and undermine the authority of God's Word. Now, I doubt if the man ever really knew Christ, because I don't believe a true person can have their faith undermined if it's a true faith in 6 months' time. But I certainly believe it's possible for Bible teachers who do not believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible to take young men and undermine their faith in just a short length of time if it's not soundly grounded in the Word of God. So what are we simply saying is this, is that every so often we will run across the theoretical atheist, and he may shake our faith somewhat because he has some strong arguments, and he's very bold, and he's one that won't sit back and take second place to in a conversation. He'll take hold of the conversation. But all around us there are those practical atheists, those that profess to believe in the existence of God but deny that in their daily living that there is a God by the way that they live. Now, how can we do that? Simply by saying that there is a God, but I make up my own rules. I don't believe that God has told us how we're to live. I don't believe that we can know what's right and what's wrong. So the only way we can know it is by our own heart. We just do whatever we feel is right, whatever is wrong. Now that's practical atheism. And this is what we need to beware of. Now notice that these individuals, the two Christians, they didn't have much problem with the atheists because they had been advanced in the knowledge of Christ. But to some of you that are here this morning and you're young people, And you're going to be leaving the church in a few years, a few months, and you're going to be going off to secular college. May I give you a little warning ahead of time? You're going to have delivered upon your mind arguments and doctrines and teachings which you've never heard of right now. And your faith is going to be called into its testing point. And many things that your pastor, your mom and dad, and your church have taught you and you have held to be true are going to be put on the fires of testing by other teachers. And these men and women are, for the most part, are going to be good men. They're not going to be out here to try to stab you in the back. In fact, you're going to love many of them. There are several people that I know today that are not Christians that I love dearly. And they're sincere people. But they do not believe in the Scriptures and in the Gospel. And they have some very strong arguments when you sit down and begin to talk with them about this. And so I'm really giving you a full warning that as you go off to your higher educational circle, let it be known that that can be an army testing ground. It's boot camp. Because right now, for the most part, you have grown up in the sheltered environment of a home and a local church. But when you leave this local church and you leave your home, and you're going to go off to a college somewhere in order to achieve more education and more learning, which is very commendable, you're going to leave the sheltered life that you have been under. And you're going to be hit with a deluge of all sorts of ideas and philosophies. And many of those ideas and philosophies are going to be nothing more than thoughts which are thrown out by teachers and professors to see whether or not that they will get any flack in return, to see whether you're listening, whether you're on your toes. And many of them have not yet proved or come to their own conclusions about what they believe about matters. But you know, if you can take a position and you're not sure of it, and you can convince a dozen other people that you're right, it sure gives you a lot more confidence, doesn't it? And many times, this is what happens in our institutions of higher learning. There are people there which are grasping with issues. People which have not yet settled in their own minds the issues of life. But when they can get many young minds there and work upon those and see those young minds adopting these unsettled ideas which they're still wrestling with themselves, and see those young minds grasp those, it gives the teacher himself confidence and to go on and say, well, this must be right because it's working. So you don't have to go away to college saying, well, now all of those professors there are going to undermine my faith. No. If you have a true saving faith, you're not going to be shaken off the rock. There may be come some times in which you may stumble on the rock, but if you truly have Jesus Christ, you'll not be shaken off the rock. Stand on Him. And remember that when you're about to deal with an issue in which that you have never thought of before, and you said, well, I wonder why I didn't see that, and if that's the case, then this, what I've been taught, is not true. It just can't be true. Before you adopt that overnight, you back off from it, and you examine it and see what's behind the scene in that. It may be a flatterer. It may be some teacher designed to take you away from the will of God, which is designed for your good and for God's glory. Let's close then with prayer tonight, as this is a very short section in our book, and we'll continue on from there next week as Christian and Hopeful enter into the enchanted ground. All right, let's pray this evening. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank You for sparing us from a life of atheism. We thank You that during the time in which that You permitted us during our teenage years to be a professing atheist, that You did not cast us off, but that You drew us to the truth that's in Christ Jesus. And we thank You for this. We thank you for what you brought into our lives spiritually and physically and socially, and all things, the areas of happiness and grace which you've produced in us because of your purpose in our lives. And we pray tonight that you might take this few thoughts that has been presented, and that we might not succumb to the atheistic rebukes and laughter of those of this world who would laugh at us when we say that we believe in the life hereafter, that we believe in God. And God in heaven, though we've never seen you, yet we love you. Though that we have never seen you with eyes and heard you with our ears, yet we know that you're real because of what you've done in our lives and the promises that you've verified in your word. And we pray tonight that you might enable us to witness a good testimony to offset some of the atheistic influences which are in our land and even within our religious circles this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.